Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. Hi, Ash.
Hello.
Today is Thursday, April 24th. This will probably be coming out on the 25th or 26th of April. We do not have a Formula One race this weekend. We actually don't have an IndyCar race either. We don't have WEC. We don't have Formula E. It is a little light.
Yes, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you.
And that's it. That's it. Thank you so much, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to use Indeed for all your hiring needs. No.
You just prepared for like an hour all our show notes, and imagine we just wrapped it up in 30 seconds.
Yeah, but we don't have any like big racing series races this weekend. But
except Talladega.
Okay, of course. Jesus. Yes, we have NASCAR.
Oh, your right turn fans are just very upset.
Today we're going to be talking about the 6 hours of Imola, which happened the previous weekend in the World Endurance Championship, as well as we have Indy 500 Open Test happening yesterday and today at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We want to talk about that, as well as some other F1 and motorsport headlines. And then today is the NFL draft. If you're listening and you're not from America, Ash, you want to give us a little rundown of what the NFL draft is?
I mean, we'll get into my complaints. I'm just kidding. No grievances. We'll get into my whole shtick about the NFL. But yeah, the NFL draft is obviously there's open spots. There's a lot of prospects that did the combine, which is you do like a 40-yard dash. You do all this like athletic stuff so you look cool in front of scouts for teams. And essentially they just try to draft players to fulfill their roster. Because you have the full, you have the active roster that plays the games, but you also have the practice squad, which you can be drafted to, which you do get paid a minimum, but obviously not as much if you're inactive.
Right.
And then you get bounced around, and it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
But yeah, they sit in a nice room with a lot of screens and a lot of scouts and a lot of people, and everyone either needs it. Someone needs a quarterback, someone needs a defensive tight end, etc. So that'll be happening the next couple of days.
Most of you could not see this because I don't think we release a video version of the full podcast, but in honor of the NFL draft, Ash is wearing an F1 football jersey.
When Formula One first went to Miami, they released a baseball jersey, which I have, a Formula One baseball jersey, and then this NFL-style Formula One jersey.
Nice. And I am wearing my Emmitt Smith by way of Dallas sweatshirt. Because I grew up a Cowboys fan, I'm also wearing a Dallas Cowboys hat. So go football.
I'm a Jets fan, so this podcast is already down the gutter.
You're a Jets fan? You're from New York? But I just assumed, and we're already going on a tangent here. I assumed if you were a New York sports fan, you get like lumped into things. Like I assumed if you're a Yankees fan, you're also a Giants and a Knicks fan. And okay. If you're a Jets fan, you're a Mets fan. And like an Islanders fan. Like I assumed it's like you either choose like the premier like New York sports franchises or the underdogs, but you don't like cross-pollinate.
Interesting. We can't call the Mets underdogs anymore. They have a bigger salary roster than the Yankees. So
sure.
And I think the Dodgers, I think they might be number one. Regardless, that's a great question. I actually have no idea how that happened. And really, I don't follow the NFL. I'm more of a college football kind of gal. I'm just rooting for New York because both our teams are just there in New Jersey.
Yeah. Right.
They're doing their best. So, you know, if the Giants are doing well, I'll be like, go you. Go Giants.
And then
Aaron Rodgers, which I wasn't really proud of. So I just let that go.
You're like, East Rutherford, represent.
Yeah, I can't wait to, what's the World Cup's going to be played there?
Yeah.
Some game, not the whole entire. I know they're split across multiple countries in North America, but I'm so sorry for anyone not from the United States getting off the train and seeing East Rutherford, New Jersey, to go watch their soccer team play. My humblest apologies.
Yeah, for sure. Getting to MetLife Stadium is a pain in the ass. Oh,
yeah, let's not scare him away. Someone else already did that for us.
I remember there was a time when I first moved to New York, which was like 2007. Bloomberg was trying to get a football NFL stadium in Manhattan where the Javits Center ended up getting built.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been epic.
Slash also a pain in the ass.
Also a pain in the ass. But just to have a stadium like that accessible would have been nice.
Yeah. Alas.
But let's start talk about motorsport because that's why people are listening. We're going to go into some motorsport and F1 headlines. First up, FIA President Mohammed bin Salam has... this is your thing. Sorry, I have no idea what this says. Please elaborate.
Oh, okay. So he's nominated a new deputy president for the sport. Robert Reed, I believe I'm saying his name correctly, resigned earlier this month, and his letter was pretty, or like his statement was pretty fiery, right?
It's very scathing.
Yeah, when I took on this role, it was to serve the FIA's members, not to serve power, he said. Decisions are being made behind closed doors, bypassing the very structures and people the FIA exists to represent. My resignation is not about personalities, it's about principles. We cannot allow a shift in moral compass of our leadership to simply dismiss any request for transparency or open discourse.
Wow.
So he's like, deuces, y'all. I'm not the problem. It's you.
Yeah.
But they nominated Malcolm Wilson as the new deputy president for the sport. He's the leading Riley team boss, which is really interesting. I'm reading the comments of the article from The Race. A lot of folks say that they have a huge amount of respect for Malcolm. They don't get the impression he's a person who would take the role just for prestige and just to say. So they're assuming that he can work well with MBS and that he sees some kind of way through. But we'll just see how it goes. Just the next episode of what someone says, the FIA, the soap opera.
Okay, so president resigned, new president, deputy president appointed. We shall see.
Yeah, cookie crumbles.
All right, Bruce Almighty. next up, I wanted to put this in the outline because I thought it was very, very funny. Yesterday, the FIA official Instagram account posted that GM had been approved to be an official engine supplier in Formula One starting in 2029.
And we all knew this was coming, but this was like an officially, like the votes passed, all this stuff. They have been approved, gavel slammed for 2029.
James texted me, by the way, about this. That's not what I wanted to talk about. I don't want to talk about that announcement. I want to talk about why that announcement from the FIA official Instagram page had to be collab posted with MBS's personal Instagram account as well.
I think there's actually a lot of collab posts. When you texted that to me, I was like, no way. First of all, the first thing I did was go on the page and cursed. I said, that's fucking awesome. that's my little power over there. But yeah, let me actually check it out while you talk about it. I did find that really funny.
I've noticed that he's done that recently, and I think it's partially – I think it started when he started getting a lot of flack both in the press and from fans online, and I think he's trying to, like, boost his own personal, like, social media presence and is using the FIA's account to do that.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny that you said that. Okay, so I 100% know. So 7 hours ago, the FIA posted about the Girls on Track, like eSports Cup, where essentially it's going to be for girls and women age 16 or older. You can compete no matter where you live, and I believe it's an iRacing thing. So you set up and activate an iRacing account, you do time attacks, and then there's a competition aspect, et cetera, et cetera. When I saw that this morning, it is currently 1:30 p.m. on East Coast time. This was 7 hours ago. It was just iRacing. And the official FIA Women in Motorsport page. Guess who is now also collabed with?
MBS?
Yes. Because I was about to say to you, wow, it's interesting that he didn't collab with this Girls on Track thing, but he collabed with the Cadillac thing. So when I scrolled just now, I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, maybe he just hadn't accepted the collab at that point. But
he's sleeping in? What is he doing?
But I because I remember this, because I remember going to his Instagram a few years ago, and I think he had like 40,000 followers. He was FIA president at the time. And I don't want to get too political on this podcast, but I unfollowed him because he was like, you know, posing for photos with people like Tucker Carlson. And I was like,
oh,
so I was like, no, thanks. And like, he seems like to be the kind of guy who like is probably pro Putin. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. It just got to the point where I was just like, I found him kind of intolerable, so I unfollowed him. But now I can't escape him because I follow the FIA on Instagram, and he's constantly collab posted with us. And I think it's very funny because the FIA is like, all right, we have this important announcement, and he's like, collab post?
Request.
Can you throw me out?
Do you think he asks, or do you think he just does it?
I think he mandates it. I think he's like, I want to be collab posted with that.
I know interns no longer, like, don't do the social media thing, right? Like, social media is a team because it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of professionalism. Though, it would be funny to think that someone didn't know who was requesting to collab, and they're like, who's this guy? Why does he want to collab on all our posts? I don't understand. Yeah. I'm looking at other things he's collabed with. He recently also collabed on Earth Day. Mr. V10 was like, let me collab on this Earth Day post. Found that interesting.
The V10 was like a smoke and mirrors comment. I think they've already made the announcement that that's not going to happen.
But people are still hanging on
because it goes against
motorsport fans.
It goes against the modern regulations. What do you mean we? You just went on a rant against V10s. What do you mean we?
Every other motorsport fan plus Ashley outside the Venn diagram. Sorry, everyone. Everyone's in a circle, and I'm right outside of it.
I will say, your V10 rant was incredibly polarizing, but there were a lot of people that agreed with you.
Yeah, there's plenty of us.
You had just as many people, I feel like, agree with you in your V10 rant as disagreed with you.
It's when people who are smarter than me and work in the space agree with me, then I feel fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, if just like Lewis Hamilton DNB and he's like, you're a doofus, I'd be like, oh, man, maybe I am a doofus.
That's kind of how I felt like when I, we've talked about this personally, but, you know, we get a lot of sort of scathing comments on the WTF1 Instagram, but a lot of people, like, there's a lot of hate, and then there's also people that have issues that, especially with me, because I'm a new fan, like, I've only been watching motorsport for like 2 or 3 years at this point, and they're like, who is this guy hosting this podcast? Like, he's not an expert. Like, why should I listen to this guy for anything? And I'm like, and my argument was like, we're trying to give you like a different perspective. Ash, you've been a longtime fan. I'm a newer fan, and we're trying to blend the new perspectives because there are a lot of new fans in motorsport.
Yeah.
But it was really hard seeing all these comments that were like super critical of me. And I felt like really down on myself. And then I went to Long Beach for the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach with IndyCar. And I had drivers telling me how much they liked my stuff. Like, I had, you know, drivers who follow me on Instagram being like, I love the stuff you make. I also appreciate that you're making stuff about IndyCar. Like, please keep doing it. I think it's great. So that was very validating.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. A lot of comments that I get is that I'm a woman. And then it's a problem, and I'm like, okay, then I'm not going to talk to you. Like, this is a dumb, this is a dumb reason.
Sure,
it's always like James and that girl, or James and that woman, and I'm like, my name's right there. What are you talking about?
It's right there. It's literally right there.
Yeah, it's just fun, but it's a good time.
But yeah, I hear you. Like, you had a lot of fans getting mad at you for your rant about V10s, but then had actual.
I would say few.
Some, but you had you had people who actually work in motorsport. You had engineers messaging you being like, thank you for saying that.
Or just like, we agree. Yeah. It's so funny that you said it out loud. And I was like, cool. And it was just like a fun discussion. Some people obviously disagreed. We had some really good shouts of like good conversation and DMs. And just like, I was just like, yeah. Then jokingly be like, just let it go. And be like, I miss the sound. And I'm like, yeah, it's a lot of nostalgia. And I get that. I get that with other sports too. So yeah, it's been fun. to, and I hope people are, I feel like they're more open to commentating. I see we've gotten some comments on our past review of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, which was released this week and things like that. So that's been fun to kind of just hang out with people. And
totally.
Chat.
Hundo P. It's a great time to remind you that this episode of the WTF1 podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTF1podcast. That's nordvpn.com/WTF1podcast. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is also in the podcast episode description. Now, you might be asking yourself, why do I need a VPN? Y'all, I'm so glad you asked. There's a number of reasons, but first of all, watching sporting events, TV shows, and films which aren't available in your region, I switch my virtual location to a country which is allowing or showing the event. I also use NordVPN to protect my private data like bank details, passwords, and my online identity. Get premium cybersecurity for the price of a cup of coffee per month. One NordVPN account can be used for up to 10 devices. We're talking phone. We're talking second phone. We're talking laptop. We're talking tablet. The possibilities are endless. I also use it to protect myself from viruses, malicious malware, and phishing sites using the threat protection feature. So make sure to sign up for NordVPN by going to nordvpn.com/WTF1podcast. That's nordvpn.com/WTF1podcast. Before we get into the 6 hours of Imola and the IndyCar Open tests, I have one more thing that I want to talk about. I have a bone to pick with this motorsport.com headline. The headline reads
James
as follows.
Didn't tell me what this was, by the way. No. He said, I want to read this to you live on the pod.
How Jeddah became Mercedes' worst race of the F1 season. And I have an issue with that headline.
Wait, what was the rest of the article? Sorry, the contents of it, do you know? Did you read the article, James?
Yes, I did read it. Okay, and it was essentially like, had to do with how Mercedes historically tend to do better in colder temperatures, mixed with the Pirellis bringing the softer tires, combined with also the dirty air issues that we're seeing in Formula One. But the headline said how Jeddah became Mercedes' worst race of the F1 season, but they finished 5th and 6th.
But like, yeah, relative it is.
Right, but they finished P5 and P6 in a very competitive season, in a car where the McLarens are rocket ships, in a car where Max Verstappen is in like great form despite the Red Bull not being on par with the McLaren. I just think it's very funny that it's their worst start.
Like, it's that extreme of a headline as opposed to being like, the issues Mercedes faced.
Yes.
Jeddah. It's
exactly.
Like that. Or what went wrong for Mercedes,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
Because, like, they've been finishing, like, P3, P4, P5, like, in that range. Just because it wasn't a podium, it's the worst race of their season. And we're only 5 rounds in.
But you know who's clicking on that, right? You have people who are Mercedes fans that are like, yes, I want to know why my team did not do well as P3 per usual. So that's immediately clicks, right? Because that's a dramatic enough headline for Mercedes fans to definitely click. And then if you're an F1 fan reading, right, I think we talked about what kind of fan, or not what kind, what the percentage of people who consume beyond just the race.
Yeah.
You might be casually interested in like, oh, what are they doing wrong so my team doesn't do it? Send a message to McLaren. Read this.
Right.
Don't do this next weekend.
Yeah. So that's all. I just wanted to say that it was
Can you do a segment of the best clickbait headlines you and I run across?
Yeah, we should absolutely do that. That's a great segment.
We're adding a new two new segments. One is the mailbag where we read you guys' comments during our review pod. And then two, we're going to find clickbait headlines now and just read the best ones and assume what they're about.
We're going to go fishing for clickbait.
Yeah, it's like catfish, but
yeah,
information.
Cool. Let's move on. Let's talk about WEC or WEC or...
No. Robert Kubica did an interview and he said WEC. So I'm saying WEC.
Thank you. I just like... I still just can't... I'll make a video about WEC and people are like, I don't respect anyone that says WEC. And then I'll make a video and call it WEC. And it's like, I don't respect anyone who... People will say, I don't respect anyone who says WEC. And I'm like, I cannot win with these people.
Call it whichever is fine. I think because there's nothing else going on in WEC besides really good racing, we just need to cause drama to get on the front page of those clickbait headlines, and that's the best that we can come up with.
Maybe.
So if Robert Kubica in his video says whack, I am saying whack.
Yeah, and that's your dude.
That's my guy.
6 hours of Imola happened last weekend. The number 51 Ferrari hypercar driven by James Collado, Antonio Giovinazzi, and Alessandro Pierguidi won by 8.4 seconds. The number 20 WRT BMW hybrid V8 shared by Rene Rast, Robin Freins of Formula E, and Sheldon Vanderlyn took second with the Alpine driven by, I'm going to mispronounce this name, you probably know it, Frederick. It looks Polish. Makowiecki?
The W is always pronounced as a V in Polish. This is Makowiecki. Fun.
Frederick Makowiecki, Jules Gounon, and Mick Schumacher in third place. So podium for Mick Schumacher. You go, Glenn Coco. And
GT3 dominance.
Ash, you want to talk about GT3?
Yeah, Valentino Rossi got his maiden pole for the GT3 category, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I always bring up when someone talks to me about quote-unquote fangirls in Formula One, and I was like, you've never seen the amount of men who chase Valentino Rossi during the Spa 24 hours when he's walking through the paddock. It is. Just like, imagine you're watching a zombie or TV show movie. It is just the same exact thing. And I get it. It is Valentino Rossi, right? Like, who wouldn't? But it's just, it goes both ways, right? Mm-hmm. He is so popular still that if you go to a MotoGP race, when I went to the ones in Coda, like not even this year, he still had his own stall of merchandise because he's just so popular. I mean, it is the Valentino Rossi, the doctor, as it says so on his butt camera when he raced in MotoGP. So he's still hugely popular. I mean, you can just bring him anywhere in any race and tons of people will come just for him, even in his like old MotoGP merch, which is awesome to see. So he had a rough start in GT3s when he first got into it, but then he's climbed up pretty quickly. He's gotten used to it really quickly, grabbed his pole this weekend. Unfortunately, he got a drive-through penalty for avoidable contact, which derailed his dominant run. And Kelvin Vanderlyn comes up 1 second behind winning number 92 Manthe Porsche 911 GT3R, driven by Richard Leitz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's GT3s.
I have a bone to pick with Weck's YouTube channel. Oh. So I will say,
what is it?
Well, first of all, I want to say that Alexa Rendell and Sam Smith do a wonderful job giving very in-depth previews of each Weck race. Mm-hmm. They're both so good at what they do. Sam Smith is an unbelievable journalist, mainly covers Formula E and Weck. But they started doing this, I believe, like last year or the year before, where before any of the WEC races, they do a walk on the track by all the cars, and they do a really in-depth talk about like all the teams, all the cars, storylines, things to look at during the race. They do a wonderful job. They put out the video in, you know, a day or two before the race. It's great. My issue with WEC's YouTube channel is that it takes them forever to put out extended highlights because a lot of us don't have the time to sit and watch an endurance race intently the entire time. So, you know, especially a 24-hour race, but 6 hours of Imola, I was able to watch bits and pieces, but I wasn't really able to follow everything hour by hour, lap by lap. And what I would have loved to have been able to do once the race was done a few hours afterward would be able to watch extended highlights. What they do a pretty good job is they do like a first 5 minutes of the race that they release, but that of course doesn't give you the full story. And then they might release like a highlight video that's like 5 minutes long. But like, I would love to be able to consume an endurance race with extended highlights. IndyCar does a very good job doing this, but it took them until yesterday to release the extended highlights. It was a full 3 days. So I'm sure they're working with a shoestring budget compared to some other racing series. But if you can, pretty please, with Sugar on Top, if you could release extended highlights the next day, that would be great.
I hear you. I would like to validate your feelings. I understand you want things quickly, but also
It's like J.G. Wentworth. It's J.G. Wentworth. It's my money, and I want it now.
But it's like, what are we in a rush for? The next race isn't this weekend. You got time to consume it. Like, everything is now. Everything's now with you, Gen Z.
I want to be part of the zeitgeist. I want to be able to, like, consume it and, you know, I don't know.
I guess there's no discussion afterwards of what happens in a WEC race, right? Like, for Formula One, we're still talking it.
I think that's the issue is, like, I would have loved to have been able to watch it on Monday and maybe broken down, found some storylines in those extended highlights and talk about it now. Because I think WEC is a great series. And you especially see that when the 24-hour of Le Mans come along. Of course, it's a triple crown race. All of a sudden, everybody is a huge WEC fan when the 24-hour Le Mans comes along. But then when the other races are happening, it maybe gets 5% of the attention.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with IndyCar and the Indy 500.
Yeah, you're right.
The interesting thing is I think other sports do this well, and I would include, obviously, football in this. When I talk about stick and ball sports, obviously the ball is also football, just make that very clear. Not just NFL, MLB, NBA, et cetera. I just think they do a really good job, not only because there's 162 games in baseball or 84 plus in basketball, et cetera, and with hockey and such. We just do a good job spreading out storylines, and we'll talk about this when we go to our Formula One draft. But they do such a good job just constantly talking and reiterating certain storylines. And like, it's always top of mind, at least in American pop culture, definitely the NFL. Right. I just offhandly knew the draft was this weekend. Not that I don't watch the draft. I've never seen the draft. I know exactly where it is, and I just know it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the WEC race happened, and then all of a sudden, we're done. We're done talking about it. I think Formula One does, if it's a triple header or like a double header, even for Formula One, I think people care from the previous race about Wednesday if anything newish happened. But at least Wednesday afternoon, you're talking about the next race weekend, which is fine. Now that there's a break, I think there's a little bit of both. But I'm still kind of like, are we talking about story? Like, where's the keeping me top of mind, keeping F1 top of mind? Like, Emily, like that already just happened, and then we're done. And that's it.
Yeah.
We've moved on.
Right.
We have so many more days till the next race. And it's just like, what are we doing?
And I know it's hard because everybody wants to talk about Formula One. And then to a lesser degree, people want to talk about IndyCar or Formula E or NASCAR, especially in the United States. But WEC is a great series. And there are definitely storylines in there. But I don't know about them because I'm not immersed in that world. And so I would hope that the series can find a way to give us reasons to be more invested in it. That's all. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
There's this one story in F1.com that says Racing Bull CEO Peter Bayer admits Lawson left sad and puzzled by Red Bull seat swap as he predicts New Zealand driver will be back and he'll be quick. My thing is, I don't think he's sad and I don't think he's puzzled. Like, I thought we talked about how just weeks ago a month ago when it happened, that time is just a man-made construct. I clearly don't know anything. That he actually felt good about the swap because there was so much pressure and social media stuff, and he was quoted saying that, like, yeah, this might be better, and they welcomed him with open arms when the sweet swap happened. And now it's like, oh, he's sad and puzzled. Like, what are we doing?
Wait, what does this have to do with what we were just talking about? Was this just like...
These are just like storylines that we're just like grabbing and trying to keep relevant. And it's like we're flip-flopping back and forth. I don't know how many more power rankings I can see of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix from every single publication. Top five, bottom five, worst things, power rankings, best team, Aramco, Shell, ExxonMobil, their power rankings. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're doing our best.
That's all we can ask.
Speaking of, let's talk about IndyCar.
Let's talk about IndyCar. I have the live stream on my third monitor right now. There's nothing happening. It's just a wide establishing shot of Indianapolis Motor Speedway because testing doesn't resume again until 2 p.m. Eastern time. But let's talk about the open test.
Yeah, so it's practice sessions for this week. And we know it's April, but this begins, quote unquote, something called the month of May. And we'll kind of go down really quickly what the whole schedule is in a bit. But before we do that,
just some context. If you're listening and you're mainly an F1 fan and you don't watch IndyCar and you're not super familiar, IndyCar has 17 races in the course of their season. But by far, everyone should probably knows this by now, the Indy 500 is the crown jewel of the NTT IndyCar series. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a Triple Crown of Motorsports, which includes the Indy 500, right?
Indy 500, 24-hour of Le Mans, Grand Prix at Monaco.
This is the Indy 500, to give even more context, is the world's largest single-day sporting event.
Wild.
So one of the largest sporting gathering group of people, I mean, right, excluding religious events and things like that, this is the world's largest single-day sporting event. And they always, every year they'll come out and you'll see like maps of what certain like city marks or whatever other stadiums can fit inside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So this weekend specifically, all 34 car and driver combinations entered in next month's Indy 500 participate in the first full field tests of IndyCar's new hybrid technology for their cars, which started this year.
Hybrids were introduced at the beginning of last season, correct?
But they weren't part of the Indy 500, excuse me.
Correct, yeah.
Thank you, James. Wednesday, which was yesterday for us, morning practice, veteran drivers. And late afternoon, there's a rookie orientation. So if you never raced the Indy 500 before, they'll go through certain things with you. It's just like a smidge different than the usual IndyCar rules. And obviously, you're going tremendously quick on the thing. So there's making sure that the rookies know, take a little, driving test and something. Also a refresher program that if you race it before, but if you just, you haven't been there for a while, such as Kyle Larson, Marco Andretti, Cal Milat, Robert Schwartzman, Lewis Foster, Takuma Sato, Jacob Abel, and Devlin DeFrancesco did the rookie/refresher program. Thursday morning, there's qualifying simulations. And then afternoon is just more practice, as James mentioned. So that, luckily for the past 2 days, it's all been live on YouTube, which has been amazing.
It's been super fun to watch because they didn't always used to broadcast this. And what a lot of people don't realize in IndyCar, yes, Indy 500 is by far the biggest race in the IndyCar series in the season. But IndyCar essentially dedicates the entire month of May to the Indy 500. Yes, Barber is May 4th in Birmingham, Alabama. But then, like, all of IndyCar goes to Indianapolis, and they're there for the rest of the month of May. There is the Suncio Grand Prix, which is like the road course race inside of the oval at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which is earlier in May. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's May 11th. And then the rest of the month of May is dedicated to the Indy 500. Like, yes, they have 2 days of open testing, but then they have like 9 practice sessions.
Yeah. Let me go through the things to prepare for the month of May. And we'll dive into these as it gets closer. But just to give folks a better concept of how big the Indy 500 is, not just for the city of Indianapolis, but like IndyCar in general, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, the Speedway works with the city of Indianapolis to rename streets after drivers and other IMS signage and stuff like that. So there'll be like a Scott McLaughlin Avenue somewhere. And essentially, they don't completely replace. They'll put the sign underneath the actual street sign. But they work with the city to put up these signs. There's an Indy 500 festival in downtown to kick off the month of May. And then there's IMS fan festivals all over the state of Indianapolis in different bigger cities. There's also something called porch parties, where race fans decorate their lawns and porches for the Indy 500 or do IndyCar themed. They wear checkered flag outfits. It's like a big party. It's like Halloween in the United States. You just give out candy. This year in the Indy 500, it's like, what, Miller Lights, milk, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Party, hot dogs, whatever you want to do, barbecue in your front lawn. Okay, too far. opening day for the Indy 500 is May 13th, and they're doing something again this year where there's a naturalization ceremony where 33 individuals are inducted as United States citizens. And their first event as U.S. citizens is the first Indianapolis 500 practice officially for that month of May that afternoon.
USA.
Yeah, I know. I was like, this is really just like doing it. So May 13th, 14th, and 15th is all practice. May 16th is something called Fast Friday, where they get about an extra 90 horsepower of boost to simulate what they get in qualifying to work on their qualifying setups. May 17th and 18th is qualifying. We'll get into that some other time. There's a lot of rules there. May 19th is another practice. May 23rd is Carb Day. Decades ago, the track hosted Carburation Day when race teams had their last chance to tune their carburetors for their gasoline-powered cars. That's no longer a thing, but it's still called Carb Day because tradition. So it's the final practice. Get the cars absolutely locked in. There's a big concert and a party. There's pit stop competitions, and you just have a good time. May 24th is Legends Day. There's an autograph session at IMS. There's a public driver's meeting, which fans are allowed to attend, where they go over all the stuff that they need to know. I mean, they already know this, but it's just for the public, really. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go have a parade downtown again. May 25th is the Indy 500. I believe it's 6 a.m. when the gates open. I think I got there at 6 a.m. They shoot off fireworks to open the gates. And not only is the Indy 500, inside the Indy 500 is an EDM festival, and it's called the Snake Pit, where they have, like, really big DJs come and play at the same time the race is happening.
That's
and
wild.
In the last couple of laps, they'll pause the concert, and they'll play the race on the big screen.
That's fun. The concert. Also, a lot of people, you can, similar to NASCAR races, you can park in the infield, right, and tailgate.
So there's, I think parking's already sold out. But yeah, you can, yes. there's a lot more stricter rules for the Indy 500. But yeah, there's parking spots, lots, I should say, around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So you are allowed also to bring a cooler into IMS, right? So a lot of people bring sandwiches. What I did, we went to Subway the day before, put it in the hotel fridge. So we had Subway sandwiches in our cooler. You can bring your own drinks, canned beverages, no glass, of course. And it's just a vibe. It's great.
When you have gone, have you gotten a scanner so you can listen to the different team frequencies in the radio broadcast?
No, I did not do that.
I'm very interested in that culture.
I do that in NASCAR races.
Yeah.
Just because usually the screen's just so far away, and it's just so, it's like crazily loud, especially when the ovals are like half miles and you just constantly hear them buzzing. Meanwhile, in Indy, if you're sitting in the first corner, but they're over at three across from you, you hear them coming, but it's not as bad. It's not as loud. And usually Indianapolis Motor Speedway does a really good job of putting screens up everywhere. So you're watching the screen and seeing the cars go by. So that's pretty good. Always wear ear protection regardless. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not a wuss. You care about your eardrums.
That's my favorite. For those of you who are listening who are not super familiar with like NASCAR or IndyCar culture, there's like a big radio culture at a lot of these races, and the teams will publish their frequencies so you can actually listen to their team talk between the strategists and the drivers during the course of the race, or you can listen to the actual radio broadcasts as well.
They did that for, I remember, 2 years ago, or when Vegas first started. For Formula One, American Express, if you had an American Express card, you can you just show it, and they gave you essentially a radio. It was like American Express branded. And I listened to the, I think, Sky Sports feed while watching the race, which is beautiful, because if you've been to a race and you're not in front of a screen, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any cell service, you can't just like log on to the F1 app or whatever. So
sure.
That was really nice to have at the same time. But yeah, that's a really good point. You can buy scanners or rent scanners. Depending how many races you go, it might be worth just buying your own. And yeah.
And there's also, like, I believe Racing Electronics is one of the main brands, but you can buy the headphones where you can, like, tune into the frequency, but you can also have a mic and talk to each other. So, like, you can buy a pair that are, like, tuned to one another so you can talk to, like, your friend because it's so hard to talk over the sound of the cars.
These cars, yeah. It's really super fun. It's just a more relaxed environment. I don't know. Something about Formula One races, but definitely, I think on everyone's bucket list. I always say, I think Daytona 24 was great to go to. The Spa 24 was absolutely incredible. Indy 500 should also be on your list if you're doing a list of bucket list races. It's so fun.
I may be going this year.
Oh, nice. We'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah. I've been talking to the lovely folks at Aero McLaren, and they might be bringing me. It's still in the works, so like nothing's finalized or anything, but we're trying to figure out how to make it happen. And I need to see if I can get the time off from work because I want to be able to
just request it now. Worst comes to worst, I don't need off. Okay, good.
I did, but we have like a shoot for work that those dates, so I need to double check to see if they need me or not. If they don't need me, I'm probably going to go out on Thursday and then try to see everything Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Could be fun. And that's that.
Yeah, but this is our one of many Indy 500 updates coming up. It's so crazy how much hype there is to it. Oh yeah, there's also, as they're showing on the broadcast right now, a golf course that's kind of part of the track. Kind of go under the track to go to the next couple holes and you can play golf.
Did you see the Target Chip Ganassis that are in front of the IMS Museum right there?
They recently just opened because they've been under construction, the IMS Racing Capital of the World Museum of the history of IndyCar and IMS and just really racing in the United States. And they recently redid it and it's just open and it's absolutely stunning.
Those Target Chip Ganassi cars are like iconic though. I feel like they're a representation of like IndyCar at the height of its popularity.
Back in my day, yeah.
Right? It's like Dario Franchitti, Scott Dixon, like I believe Dan Wilden. I know he was at Chip Ganassi, but I don't know if he was a target Chip Ganassi driver. But like that was, I before the split kind of diluted the IndyCar audience and helped contribute to NASCAR's rise in prominence, I feel like IndyCar was it in the United States.
I'm now afraid because you mentioned the split. We're going to get some people writing in about it and be like, I remember that. It's a very contentious subject and kind of the reason why the whole F1 Andretti thing, they don't like each other.
Yeah, we can go on a deep dive on this later, but for context, IndyCar in the late 90s, early 2000s split into two leagues, which was like the Indy Racing League and CART, championship auto racing teams. And it seriously hurt open wheel racing in the United States, but also helped NASCAR become super popular at that time. And also helped Formula One continue to be super popular. So IndyCar, a lot of people say, why is IndyCar not more popular? A lot of it has to do with that split that happened over 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yep. You got it.
You got it.
No notes. I do love the broadcast team that they have. If you're unfamiliar with who Alan Bestwick is, he's absolutely incredible. And I just love him with James Hinchcliffe.
He has a great voice.
And he's just knowledgeable and they're just like chummy enough. It's been so fun to watch and they're just have a really good rep. And yeah, they just know so much. And I mean, Alan Bestwick has been incredible. I mean, been with NASCAR, knows IndyCar, the voice of what they say the Indy 500 is. And he's been awesome.
Yeah, his voice is incredible. I want him to read names.
It's like
the
usual old school broadcaster voice is what I call it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been a good pairing on this open test.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Let's get to our fun activity.
Let's do it.
I'm kind of excited about this.
I am too. As we mentioned, y'all, the NFL draft is today. You guys will probably be listening to this on a Friday or Saturday. But as we're recording this, the NFL draft will be happening this evening in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Shout out to Packer Nation. Even though I'm not a Packers fan, I'm a Cowboys fan. So Ash decided to set up a Formula One draft.
Yeah. So for those of you who are not aware of how much the NFL infiltrates the average everyday American, and maybe I'm not like an average everyday American because I'm like, I love sport and sports.
Sure. Yeah.
But NFL season ends. Everyone talks about what shoulda, coulda, woulda, what happened, right, for the longest time. Then the combine happens where the prospects of who they're going to draft go through 40-yard dashes and do all their technical and physical stuff. Then we have this draft kind of in between. It was like a month in between. And every single NFL analyst and broadcaster has been doing mock drafts for weeks. There's one that I definitely follow. She's great, but she's on her like seventh mock draft of like ideal scenario. What if someone needed this one? Who, if someone takes this, what do the other teams do? It's been, then after this mock draft, they talk about what is it, report cards or just scorecards of like who drafted the best actually and who actually is going to do really well predictably this season with who they drafted. NFL content is a 24/7 in my brain thing in the United States of America. So with the NFL draft, we thought it'd be fun to do a Formula One draft. We will include Cadillac into this, but we have our teams. We kind of did it like the NBA where the bottom five are get entered into a lottery and then they get, there's some kind of formula I found online and then it spits out who gets to pick first. because usually traditionally in the United States, if you are the worst team, you just automatically get to pick first in hopes that you pick someone better and your team gets better. But with the, we kind of did an NBA style where the bottom quote unquote five teams, and we did Cadillac because they don't have any records or anything that we can judge from.
Yeah.
I guess we could judge from their other cars. But besides the point, in Formula One, they were entered into that. So, James, are you ready? We're going to do this together with James. We're not going to do it against each other.
Right.
We're each going to pick.
I mean, if we really wanted to get into the nitty gritty, we could have done an expansion draft where Cadillac got to pick pit crew members from other teams.
Strategists.
The teams had
team
to like
principles.
Each Formula One team got to put like a list of 10 team members who were safe, and then everyone else could be picked. So like you could take the rear gunner from Red Bull. You could take a strategist from Ferrari.
Get so into it. But for our lottery winner, the first pick for our Formula One draft is Aston Martin.
Yeah. And how did you calculate this? Did you like do, were there percentages of?
Yeah, there was it's from their stuff, the record from last year, and there was percentages. Yeah. So Aston Martin like only NBA had like a 12.9% chance. Yeah, so NBA draft format. Okay. But they got selected first in this lottery.
Wow, that's huge.
It worked out for them. Yeah. Who are we picking from?
If Aston Martin is a lottery pick, so are we selecting both drivers or one driver at a time? And then is this a snake draft? Or are we going back to the top of the list once we get through McLaren?
Oh, let's do one driver at a time. And yeah, let's do snake.
Okay, great. We're going to do snake?
Yeah.
Okay. That means Aston Martin gets the last. Okay, they get the first pick and the last pick.
Yeah.
That's how we're doing it. Okay, great. So Aston Martin for the first pick. I feel like at this point,
are you going to say Max Verstappen?
It has to be.
Are you just saying because of all the, who else would anyone pick as their first pick is what you're saying?
Yeah. Who else would you pick?
I was thinking Carlos Sainz.
No.
Max is, whatever what's going on with the FIA stuff, whether you agree with Max or not, or whatever's going on in your dislike, everyone, I think he's potentially a little, just wants to get over it.
So
he was
just
sports car racing. I think he
are you saying you wouldn't select Max Verstappen because you think he's going to leave the sport?
Correct. I want to build a team around someone for a lot of years. I'm drafting someone for like 3 to 5 years.
I feel like you pay him enough money, he'll stay. And that's exactly what I think. That's exactly what Aston Martin's trying to do right now.
He loves racing so much that it doesn't matter about, I mean, money does matter always.
Right.
I just don't think he cares or like cares about the money enough where he's like, ooh, can I race Le Mans or like race sports car racing and like build my own team and have fun there? I can do this.
You say that, but then Aston Martin is going to offer him like $100 million a year for 3 years, and they're going to offer him like equity in the team, and he's going to agree to do it.
So as Aston Martin, we're going to go Max Verstappen first.
Yeah, but like this, okay. You set this up so you can say, Carlos Sainz.
But we're going to have to give him a lot of money.
Yes, it's one of those situations where like we're gonna pay Max so much money, we're gonna need someone to drive that second car for free.
Luckily, we have the last pick too, so Max, lots of money, which I think Lawrence Stroll can take care of, so it's not a big deal.
All right, Cadillac.
Okay, do we go with a curtain driver? Yeah, we have to, right?
There's no way. So I actually like your pick of Carlos Sainz.
Oh, interesting.
In a Cadillac, because I do feel like he is at his, I think he still has a lot to offer. He probably still has another like 4 or 5 years in Formula One, if not longer. Mm-hmm. I think he's already showing his value to a midfield team like Williams. Mm-hmm. With the development of the car, he has a reputation for giving incredible feedback. Mm-hmm. To the team. He's only 30 years old. You know, it's
oldest in
not
the league.
Over the hill.
I'm just kidding. It's what they say on my baseball broadcast every single day.
Yeah, I know. It's like 32 years old, oldest guy in the league. It's a miracle he can walk to the plate.
Poor Alex Ovechkin. They won't stop dropping his age every time he scores a goal.
How old is he now?
He's like in his 40s, I think.
Wild.
Let's see how old he is. I'm going to get this wrong. Oh, he's 39. But yeah, Alex Ovechkin, 39, scored a goal. And I was like, what, other 39 years old can't score a goal? Anyway.
I would pick Carlos Sainz for that second pick for Cadillac. Okay. Let's do Alpine. So this is like, we can't like think about, and this can be anybody.
Correct. This doesn't have to be just the current grid, right? Like for Alpine, they can pick Sergio Perez.
I would put.
But the problem is I keep thinking in perspective of the driver. If you're in the team, you're just picking the best person for your, like for your team.
Well, if that's the case, then Oscar Piastri or Lando Norris.
Oscar Piastri. Just flashback.
Yeah, let's put Oscar Piastri in an Alpine.
You remember that contract, Oscar? You're getting back to it.
Yeah. I would put Piastri
there. Would you put Piastri or Lando Norris?
I would put Piastri just because I think he has a higher ceiling. And then Sauber.
They're like, you can't escape me.
Sauber. I feel bad putting anybody in this theoretical Sauber, but...
It's going to be Audi.
Yes.
Maybe. Lando Norris.
Yeah, Lando Norris. It's got to be Lando Norris.
You think next. Cadillac wouldn't pick Lando Norris over Carlos Sainz?
You're right. They probably would.
Oh, we're too late now. We've already selected. Too late.
We've already made our select. The draft card has been handed over.
We had our blinders on so hard. I can't believe we didn't pick Lando Norris for Cadillac.
Racing Bulls. I would say... This is hard because like it's hard to say a non-Red Bull Academy driver for any of these teams.
Yeah, but you just pick Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, you want to go next best available.
Yeah.
Yeah, either George Russell or Charles Leclerc, but I would say Charles Leclerc.
I'd say Charles Leclerc. I think Haas would pick George Russell.
Haas would pick George Russell, and even Haas though like next. That's not a culture fit at all for either of them.
This is so funny. I secretly wish they did drafts, but I understand why they don't. This is awful.
So Williams, I would say Lewis Hamilton.
Ooh,
it's a good Brit on Brit action. Ferrari, I would go with the Italian stallion, Andrea Kimi Antonelli.
Nice, yeah.
I feel like he is destined to drive for Ferrari. I know. He is probably locked into Mercedes for a very long time. And I believe in interviews, he said he chose Mercedes. And this is very smart on him and his camp's part. He chose the Mercedes Driver Academy or decided to be a junior driver for them because he saw all of the other lineups on the Formula One grid and saw how many drivers were in all the other different academies and felt like he had the best chance to get to Formula One with Mercedes, which I think was great.
That's the way you got to do it and improve yourself.
100%. But to have a driver of, I don't want to say his caliber because he's only like five races into his Formula One career, but like if he is as good as we think he is going to be, to have an Italian driver who is like top one, top two driver driving for Ferrari.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
The country of Italy would be unstoppable.
Kimi driving for Ferrari is destiny. It's going to happen before he retires.
Okay.
Red Bull.
The funny thing is I'm looking at the driver.
Who you got left?
And who, are you putting Alexander Pierre Albon or Gasly back? Are we going to do that to them?
So I'm just looking at like the current standings, and I don't think that's an accurate representation of like of best available. So like I would maybe put Fernando Alonso there. I'd say he's maybe best available. What? You gave me a look?
Yeah, okay. This is actually, I just complained about age.
This is a theoretical draft.
I'm upset now. okay, he's not sticking around.
Yeah, but we're drafting for this year. Are you not going to pick him just because of that's ageism?
That's what I just said. I was like, I was just complaining about ageism in sport, and now I'm like, oh, Fernando Alonso.
You're like, great.
Yeah, I guess we are doing a snake draft, so we do get another pick very shortly.
If we're going best available, I'm going Fernando Alonso in that Red Bull.
Best available? Are we comparing the current
Ollie Bearman?
I mean, I honestly think you stay with Yuki Tsunoda.
Okay. Do it.
So far, besides Max, who's been swiped by Aston Martin.
All right.
You got to go with the driver who can drive your gosh darn car.
All right.
You think Fernando Alonso can handle that the bull, that stallion?
Maybe. I don't know. Let's go with Yuki Tsunoda to quote the Japanese Gambate.
What does that mean?
It means, like, let's go.
Oh,
perfect. That's not the direct translation, but that's what they say at, like, sporting events. All right.
Mercedes? Now do you go Fernando Alonso with Mercedes?
Sure, why not? Let's go crazy. Let's go nuts. And McLaren. So, who's
kidding? I'm having so much fun with this.
Who's left? Well, so we have Alex Albon.
Who's left?
Who's still on the board? Who's still on the big board? And they don't have to be current driver.
That's true, but you kind of want to pick a current driver.
Let's see who's still on the board. We still got Lance Stroll on the board. We got Alex Albon.
I like Alex Albon.
Alex Albon and McLaren? Okay, let's do it.
And luckily, because it's a snake draft, we go back to McLaren.
Okay, that's right. So Albon, and do you want it to be a curtain driver? Or Bortoletto? Because Bortoletto was a McLaren reserve driver before signing. Oh, I like Behrman. Yeah, I like that.
I'm surprised we didn't swipe him, but we wanted to go with some established.
So best of it, if we're snaking back and we're at Mercedes again, I would say Ollie Behrman is best available.
Wait, but what do we do? I thought McLaren took Behrman.
To get to pick again. Sorry, Bortoletto.
For Mercedes?
Yeah. Or so Hadjar.
Not only do we pick best available, but I feel like we want to go with team dynamics here too. Like,
okay, fine.
Albon
fine,
and Behrman.
Like, how about Esteban Ocon? Everyone, he's always been linked to. No, seriously, he's always been linked to Mercedes because Toto Wolff manages them. And he was a reserve driver at Mercedes.
Sorry, who'd you say for Mercedes? Bortoletto or Hadjar?
Yeah.
Manager and protege in the same team with Mercedes. Oh, I kind of like Bortoletto.
I like that. I like Bortoletto.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Let's just do it.
Master and Padawan.
This is so fun. I wonder how many people are going to yell at us.
I think this is way more fun to do than it is to listen to.
Yeah, you should do this definitely with, I can't spell, sorry.
Red Bull, let's see who's still on the board. I would go with...
Do you bring back Sergio Perez?
I was going to say bring back Pierre Gasly and pair Yuki and Pierre again. Because if we want to talk team dynamics, like, I think they need to be on the same team again. They were great teammates. Yeah,
I love it. I don't know if Gasly would want to go back to Red Bull, but it's a draft and he has no choice.
Well, that's what's interesting. And I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but you look at Red Bull's academy drivers and you look at who is in the Racing Bulls right now. Like, Hadjar's been solid. Lawson is still sort of getting his bearings. If Max leaves Red Bull, who goes into that other seat? Do you throw Isaac Hadjar to the fire, or do you put a proven driver in there who is familiar with Red Bull and the organization and who is in good form? And that person is Pierre Gasly.
Pierre Gasly.
And and I don't know how much faith he has that Alpine, once they switch to a Mercedes power unit will be better or not. They might be. They might be on an upward trajectory. Who knows? But Pierre Gasly back at Red Bull, if Max Verstappen leaves, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
Throwing that out there. All right. Ferrari. It a Ferrari.
Who's in the Ferrari Academy driver?
Robert Schwartzman. Charles Leclerc's brother, Arthur Leclerc. Who else?
This is wild. What if Ferrari bring back? Hear me out. Don't hear me out. I actually have no logical reasoning for this, except that he was part of their academy.
Joe Guanyu is a reserve driver for Ferrari.
Yeah. What about if you bring back Sergio Perez?
For Ferrari? What?
Is that not fun for you?
You kidding me?
Okay, no. Would you rather have Mick Schumacher back?
Also, he's proven himself in the hypercar in WEC, Antonio Giovinazzi. He only drove for Sauber, yeah. Alfa Romeo. Yeah, but he drove for Sauber, Alfa Romeo. You're like, how much of a chance did he really have?
Okay, fine. I liked my little fun one, but no,
you're. What's your fun? So what's your fun bit? You want to put Pacheco there? Pacheco there. Let's do it.
It's fine. No. We're running this team together, this season together.
So we're going to do all Italian lineup, Antonelli and Giovinazzi?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Absolutely.
Love it.
Wow. Why is this
being... People are going to be, like, so mad that we put Giovinazzi in this lineup when there's, like, so many other drivers. But...
No, that's how you do it with your own friends and tell us which one, which, what you came up with.
All right, Williams.
And we're also trying to do this semi-quickly. We can sit here all day and just yell. Williams.
Who do we still got on the board? We got Esteban Ocon. We got Lance Stroll. We have Nico Hülkenberg.
My goal is to not have Lance Stroll on this.
What?
My goal is to not have Lance Stroll on this.
He's not on your big board?
No, he's not on my big board at all.
Jack Doohan, Liam Lawson. Let's think of like...
Oh, Jack Crawford.
Jack Crawford.
I
oh, yeah.
I'm saving him for Cadillac just to make that peg fit.
Any Indy car drivers?
Oh, we put
any
Alex Albon on there.
WEC drivers? Any like former drivers? So like, you know...
Throw anyone on there.
So we got Valtteri. We got Kevin Magnussen.
Hadjar would be great.
Hadjar at Williams?
Yeah.
Or reteaming Lewis with Valtteri?
Done. I'm sold.
All right.
Okay, okay, Haas is taking Hadjar for sure. You can't just leave him out there.
All right. George Russell, Hadjar, Racing Bulls, Charles Leclerc, and...
Sorry, Charles Leclerc and Racing Bulls. Sorry, it's just Charles making Leclerc. Me laugh so much.
It makes no sense. Make it make sense.
I'm so sorry.
We still got Lance Stroll on the big board. We got Esteban Ocon. We got Esteban Ocon. We got Nico Hülkenberg, Kevin Magnussen. We have Checo. We have.
Do you bring Checo for Racing Bulls, or do you stay with like Hülkenberg?
Or do you bring on someone? Oh, let's do Arvin Lindblad.
Just because.
Because he's like he's hot right now. You know, he just won his first F2 race, youngest driver ever to win an F2 race.
And that's all it takes for you.
And he's like, it seems like right now, at least in the driver academy, junior driver pipeline, he's like the golden boy.
Okay.
So let's just throw him on there for fun. Love for it. Funsies.
He's a child, but that's fine.
So is Kimi Antonelli.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Sauber paired with Lando Norris and a Sauber. Oh my God. All right. Who's going to be Lando Norris's teammate at Sauber? Let's see. We still got Lance Stroll on the big board.
I was going to say, do you keep Nico Hülkenberg in there?
Yeah. Let's do Nico.
Let's just keep him in there. Poor Hülkenberg thought he would finally get out. He
finally get with the top team. All right. Alpine.
Do we ask Esteban Ocon to come back?
Yes. Sorry. Ocon paired with Oscar Piastri.
Okay.
Cadillac.
Can we get my boy Jack in here?
I was going to say Checo, but sure. Yeah, put Jack Crawford in there. Let's go crazy.
Oh, with Aston Martin. Do you put Checo back with Max Verstappen?
Yes.
And
yes.
Aston Martin? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Done.
Love it. We did it.
We did it.
All right, folks. We just did our Formula One NFL style snake draft, even though they don't do snake drafts in the NFL. That's more of a fantasy football thing, but we still did it. Here's our lineup. At Aston Martin, we have Max Verstappen and Checo Perez. At Cadillac, we have Carlos Sainz and Jack Crawford. At Alpine, we have Oscar Piastri and Esteban Ocon. We have at Sauber, we have Lando Norris and Nico Hülkenberg. At Racing Bulls, we have Charles Leclerc, Arvid Lindblad. At Haas, we have George Russell, Isaac Hadjar. At Williams, we have reunited, and it feels so good, with Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. At Ferrari, we have an all-Italian lineup, two Italian stallions, and Andrea Kimi Antonelli and Antonio Giovinazzi. At Red Bull, we have a reunion of the pairing of Yuki Tsunoda and Pierre Gasly. What was their pairing called? Was it called Pookie?
Oh, yeah, that sounds good to me.
Of Yuki Tsunoda and Pierre Gasly. At Mercedes, we have Fernando Alonso and Gabriel Bortoleto, manager and driver, master guiding the Padawan. And in McLaren, we have Alex Albon and Ollie Bearman. I will say, this is not a bad grid.
This is really fun.
This is not a bad grid. And also, like, a lot of these are somewhat realistic. I don't know.
I'm very proud of ourselves.
Yeah, we did it.
I'm sure there's a lot of contract stuff that we're not privy to, but that's not the point of a draft, okay?
Yeah.
This
we
is
did
fun.
It, everybody.
Do
I'm
we
sure people
to...
turned it off halfway through this, but...
I had my side hurts from literally laughing so hard. I cannot get over it. We're going to put Charlotte Claire in a racing bull and Lando Norris in a Sauber. I can't.
It's cruel. It's cruel and unusual punishment.
And there's like no way to actually justify like how this would work out, if like how Lando Norris would do in a car in a
we have
Sauber.
No idea.
And it's really frustrating.
We'll never find out.
We'll never find out. But this was our...
Great draft. Thank you so much for organizing this, Ash.
It was just a good nod to the NFL.
Yeah. Also, fun fact right now, the open testing has resumed, and Marco Andretti currently topping the timing tables.
For fastest, they do it by speed.
Yes.
Like timing, because speed is just so relevant, and timings are just so close that it's better to show how fast they're going. But yeah, they can also be quote-unquote sandbagging here. For IndyCar, right? They might not show the full capability of the car because you don't want your competitors to have that edge. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. There are no major races in Formula One. There is NASCAR at Talladega, which I guess I'll cover when we come back because that's always a fun time.
Yeah, y'all, thank you so much for listening to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. If you like what you hear, and you might not after this episode, but if you like what you hear, please leave a comment on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Throw us a comment in one of the WTF1 videos. We always love to hear positive feedback. Also, if you have constructive criticism, that's fine too. Just don't be mean. And... thanks so much for listening. We will be back next week. Next week is the next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend is the Miami Grand Prix. And yeah, we hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Support local, including your local racetracks.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.